You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, you're going to love it. Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Hope that you had a great weekend. I watched the most interesting documentary this weekend. It was called Scandalous, The Untold Story of the National Enquirer. It aired on CNN. So for more than 60 years, the National Enquirer has published salacious and shocking stories, frequently blurring the lines of truth, fiction, and responsible journalism. But with extraordinary access to Enquirer insiders, many of them reporters that wrote for them years and years ago, filmmaker Mark Landsman explored the origin and evolution of the most notorious U.S. tabloid in history and its catch-and-kill practices deployed to benefit powerful partisan political interests. It's a probing documentary. It covers the early crazy stories like how they were able to obtain photos of Elvis in his coffin. Essentially, they paid a bunch of people on staff to go to Nashville, and they paid people off. They found one relative that had left the wake and had gone into a bar, got him more drunk, and then gave them this discreet camera and said, if you take pictures, we'll pay you. And the relative was like, sure, no problem. So he goes into the wake and he messed up a couple times. One time he took a picture of chandelier, one of himself, because he didn't know how to turn the camera around. And ultimately he got that big shot. And that was the one that sold millions of copies, the one of him in his coffin. And then they talk about the catch and kill policies, how people like Bill Cosby and Bob Hope were given great coverage in the form of payment. It's really interesting, especially when they talk about the political part. So I recommend that. I've also been watching part one of a two-part series on ESPN. Now, for those of you who are like, I'm feeling let down because I don't have The Last Dance left, this is going to make you very happy. I've always been fascinated by Lance Armstrong's story. And this is called ESPN's 30 for 30 Lance. It's directed by Marina Zanovich. Of course, most of us know the story of Lance Armstrong. He's more than just the man in the yellow jersey. He became the very best athlete in a sport. He really was a symbol of inspiration to cancer patients in hospitals and oncology centers. Patients saw him pedaling with ferocity, and it kindled in them a burning hope. He won the Tour de France 7 times in a row before retiring at the age of 33. He was a force on the bike and a movement off of it. Eventually, however, the truth caught up for him. For a man who had little practice at defeat, it was all over. And so what's interesting about this documentary is that it catches up with him all these years later. I always like to go back and check on people that were big in the news years and years later, because I think it gives them some introspection that is almost impossible while they're living in the center of the storm. So I recommend that. It's two parts. So you can catch it on demand, the first part, and then the second part is going to air this Sunday. Highly recommend it. I have been watching Selling Sunset on Netflix. I know that many of you do too. And that's why I was so excited to catch up with Christine Quinn. I really think she's kind of the star of the show. She's got this bigger than life personality, legs for days, and a tongue-in-cheek kind of sense of humor that is very much appreciated in the show. So the show is about selling real estate in the LA market and how it can be glorious, but of course, given the area's sunny location and abundance of the rich and famous living there, it can also be cutthroat as agents fight over clients and properties. And this is an unusual group because they work together and they hang out together. Nothing is worse than that. That is my recommendation for every young person who's graduating from college right now and pursuing a career. They're looking for companies to work with. Think again when you're like, well, that seems like an awesome company. Like, I could definitely go out for drinks with people afterwards. You have to be very careful about that. And of course, they would not follow the rules if they were listening to me years ago, because they've got two twin brothers who run this agency. It's on Sunset in West Hollywood, and they work together and then they hang out afterwards. This is a recipe for disaster, but it makes for fantastic television. So it's on Netflix and it's really good. And the most interesting thing about Christine is she's really quite clever, but her real true dream is to be on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which she told me. And I kind of think she'd be great for it. I'm eager to hear what you guys think. So, two documentaries I want you to check out. On CNN, Scandalous, The Untold Story of the National Enquirer, and then ESPN's 30 for 30 entitled Lance. So here we go with Christine Quinn from Selling Sunset. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate. I'm so excited to be here.
Right out of the gate, you're from Dallas. Give me the scoop.
Yeah. So originally I went, I'm originally from Dallas, Texas. I went to school for theater right after high school. And the first movie that I ever did was a silly movie called Shark Night 3D that went really viral and became really popular. So I became SAG immediately. So I had a manager contact me about moving to LA, and I always wanted to do acting of some sort. So that's how I kind of got to LA. I've been here about 7 years now. And, you know, I've done the whole thing. I've done acting and modeling and I loved it all. But the problem with acting is, you know, I always wanted to just be myself. I was getting pigeonholed in, you know, hot blonde girl roles, which, don't get me wrong, I love doing and I'm flattered, but there was so much more to me. And I was like, if I could only just be on camera and be myself, that would be my ultimate dream. So that's kind of how I got here.
What is the reality of how hard it is to make it in LA? Like, you come from Dallas, people all over the country, all over the world really, come to LA to become a model, to become an actress. How hard is it?
It's so hard. You know, I pride myself on always having, you know, street smarts. I've always thought outside the box. I've always been very different. I've always been a hustler. And I think it's really, really important because in LA, you know, there's so many beautiful people, there's so many talented people, but it's really about thinking outside of the box and going, okay, how can I get myself out there? And how can I do it in a different way? What are people, you know, not doing? What are people not thinking of? So I feel like that's, you know, the only key to success is just really being different and people going, oh my gosh, I love that about her. I love that she's different. I love that she does this. I love that she says this, you know, and that's what really, you know, thankfully kind of set me apart from everyone else who, you know, looks like me. And there is a lot of girls that do look like me.
So how did you get into real estate?
I got into real estate because I kind of got really tired of acting. You know, it was frustrating getting the same roles over and over, like dumb blonde girl. And, you know, I'm not a dumb blonde girl. I wanted to do so much more. So I said, okay, you know, I want to work for myself. I want to be my own boss. I don't want a casting director who had a bad day to be in control of my destiny. So ultimately, you know, Jason Oppenheim was a friend of mine and I saw him doing really well. He was working for himself. He was working when he wanted to work. You know, he was working with the clients that he wanted to work for and setting his own hours. And I loved that. So he suggested, you know, hey, you're great with people. You're very smart. Why don't you try real estate? So he's like, come back to me in 3 months, you know, take the test and, you know, let's go from there. So I took a whole bunch of Adderall, got a prescription from my doctor. I passed that test in a in a week, I passed that test. I was like, yes. So then I came back and after a week, I was like, I'm ready to go. He was like, what? You already took the test? I was like, yeah, for sure. I'm ready to go. So the rest is kind of history. And I just loved that I was in control of, you know, how hard I want to work, when I want to work, if I want a vacation, you know, who I want to work with. So I really love that about the job.
So how long have you been selling real estate now?
I've been in real estate for about 5.5 years now. I think the entertainment industry is a lot more cutthroat, in my opinion. I think there's a lot of corners that you can cut in terms of the entertainment industry. You know, and I think there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. I do think the casting couch is a real thing, and I really didn't want to be part of it. So for me, I found it a lot harder because, you know, it really is all about relationships with entertainment. It's like who you know, who you're sleeping with. I hate to say it, but I'm just being honest, you know. Real estate is not easy by any means. However, I believe if you're smart and if you're good with people, you know, anyone can really, really do it. And it's one of those jobs that it's up to you how far you want to go.
So you're working at this agency. It's in West Hollywood?
Yes, West Hollywood on Sunset.
So how many people are actually working at the agency and how many people are on the show?
So we have about 15 realtors, you know, give or take, that are working at the Oppenheim Group. However, you only see, you know, a select few on the show.
So when they came to you and they said they're interested in doing a show, were you up for it right away? Or did it concern you a little bit because you had already kind of seen the dark side of the entertainment industry?
I had definitely seen the dark side of the entertainment industry, but I was really excited because, you know, this is what I had been manifesting for years, was just to be on camera and be myself. So for me, there was really no downside. And I was really excited. The thing that I didn't realize was, you know, people who are watching the show kind of think that it's real life. You know, we don't wake up with cameras in our bedroom and, you know, we don't wake up and magically, you know, get a phone call while a camera's there. You know, that's not really how it works. Like, you know, there's certain elements that people don't understand, you know, when it comes to filming a show. So that made it really difficult because I did get a lot of hate in terms of, you know, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did this. I can't believe you did this, you know? So I thought that it would be easy breezy, you know, being myself because it was my ultimate dream. But, you know, with that being said, you know, there still is a lot that goes into it behind the scenes that people aren't really seeing.
Well, I remember watching it and asking my friends who sell real estate, like, do you guys really have to dress up like this? Like Heather in the first episode of season two is wearing like a Hervé Légère adjacent dress. And I just thought, now that's a bitch, like to have to like really dress up in those ridiculous heels just to sell a condo. Like, do you ever just want to go, you know what? I just want to wear some jeggings and call it a day. Do you want the condo or not?
You know what? And here's, you know, where the TV show really comes into play. And I'll be honest with you, in every day, you know, I don't wear dresses because I don't want to make clients feel uncomfortable in any way. I wear jeans and I wear flats. I'm already really tall. You know, I'm like 5'10". So I don't want to overpower people and, you know, take away anything. And I don't actually wear makeup when I'm not filming. So in actuality, I'm really wearing jeans and, you know, t-shirts, but definitely not heels. You know, maybe a sweater or a cardigan or something like that, because I do my best to dress professional. But, you know, when it comes to the show, I really, really wanted to amp it up because I do have fashion and style outside, you know, when I'm going out and, you know, just in my everyday life. So I wanted to really bring that to the show and really amp it up and give people, you know, a fun side, and, you know, let them see the fashion and the glamour. And obviously, you know, there are certain scenes when we're not working, where we're having parties or going to cocktail hour or galas, you know, whatever it may be. And obviously for events like that, like, yes, of course we do dress up like that. But I wanted for the TV show to, you know, really take it to another level and have people, you know, not only appreciate me for my personality and my work ethic, but my fashion as well. And I thought that I did a great job of bringing it, and I love to do it.
Well, I actually was like, I cannot meet Christine for dinner in LA because she's going to show up wearing a sequin gown and a faux fur throw, and she's gonna be like, "Why are you wearing like a wrap dress? Like, get your shit together."
Don't worry. Do not worry at all.
Tell me about the real estate industry within LA in terms of TV shows, because we're all familiar with Million Dollar Listing LA. So are you guys at the Oppenheimer agency running in the same circles, and what makes you different from one of their firms?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we definitely do run in the same circles. We see them at, you know, broker caravans. We see them at events, you know, real estate openings, listings. We see them out and about. We've known them for years and years. So we definitely do run in the same circles. However, I think that we are really, really different. You know, in my opinion, they are very, you know, they're very, very professional and very, very stiff. And I love watching the show because it's all business, 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 you know, with the exception of some funny, silly things. But I feel like we're very different because, you know, we go out as a group and celebrate, and we're really more like a family. You know, they're just a very professional office, and we're kind of like a big, like, you know, messed up family, you know? So I feel like we're very different in terms of that. And, you know, when I'm watching Million Dollar Listing, it's so different than our show. You know, it's great to watch it because they do a great job of the statistics and the real estate side of, you know, the industry. And, you know, we kind of divulge a little bit more into our personal relationships and the inner office dynamics. And I think that's what makes our show so special. And also, we have a great production value. We have an amazing, you know, score. We have beautiful cinematography. You know, so it's just, they're so different. I mean, so yeah, it just depends what you want to watch. In my opinion, I think Selling Sunset is just shot beautifully.
Well, in the first season, we've got this $48 million property, and the first episode opens with it. Please tell me someone bought that house.
Someone did buy that house. Absolutely. They sure did. It's a young couple, actually, that ended up buying the house. And I think it sold for, don't quote me, but I want to say somewhere around mid-30s. And I'm so happy that there's a young couple in that house that gets to enjoy it every day.
Is that really a good home for a young couple, assuming they're going to have kids? Like, I'm just thinking a child's going to get impaled in one of those glass tables.
You know, when I first saw the house, I, you know, initially thought this would be a great bachelor pad. In my opinion, it's definitely not a family home. I mean, the stairs are glass, and, you know, there's holes, and I don't even know if certain things are done up to code. But, you know, maybe this couple does not plan on having kids, because that would be a nightmare of a situation, let alone like trying to even find your kids in the first place if they go running around. Good luck with that.
How many of your clients now that this show has aired, the first season, do you feel like are not actually interested in the property? They just kind of want to like scope you out? Because I feel like I hear a lot of people that are on shows who work in real estate tell me the same. Like, it got kind of frustrating after a while because I quickly figured out I had spent time with this, assuming it would be a potential client, and they just wanted to ask me questions about the show.
Definitely. I mean, that is a very, very good question. I, you know, a few hours ago actually just got, you know, a Zillow lead, you know, and it's a lot of people are really now kind of just wanting to hang out with us, or, you know, maybe trying to get some information on the show. But I've had to do a really good job of trying to vet clients the best that I can now, because I am definitely getting more leads. I'm definitely getting more interest. But my, you know, the immediate thought in my head is, okay, are they really serious, or are they, you know, just trying to hang out with me or just trying to talk with me because of the show? So I definitely noticed that. And in season one, you know, people are seeing me, you know, single. So I'm getting a lot of men predominantly reaching out to me, you know, "Hey, I'm looking for a house." I'm like, "I'm sure you are, because you saw I'm single on season one." Like, so, you know, I'm doing my best to ask for proof of funds and, you know, vet them the best way that I can, because I don't want to waste any time, and I'm not, you know, wanting to waste anyone's time as well.
So that leads us to season two. So you show up to the dream. And you, first of all, you get out of a jet. I was like, are you serious? And then they take out your Louis Vuitton luggage. Were you kind of like, okay, guys, this is a little bit much? Or were you psyched for that? I was like, what?
I was psyched for it. You know, my rule of thumb is there's no such thing as too much. And that was such a fun scene to shoot. So it was in Burbank and it happened to be a really, really hot day. It was 100 degrees. And it was probably, we had to turn the plane off when we were shooting that scene. So, you know, there were times where we were waiting for the crew and a camera to set up before I went out of the plane. So my hair started actually like really, really, really curly and gorgeous. And then by the end, it's just like flat. Sad. Because it was like 120 degrees in the plane. And, you know, I was like fanning myself with whatever I could. It was really, really funny to shoot that scene because it was such a hot ass day. But I mean, when they told me, you know, they were thinking of doing that, they're like, would you go in to, you know, do a scene like that where you guys are coming back? And I was like, absolutely yes. I was so, so excited. And it couldn't have been more extra and over the top. But that's who I am. And that's what fans love. And that's what I love about them, because they love that. So, you know, I don't want to give them anything less than extra.
So did you really keep from everybody that you were engaged for 3 months? Three months is a long time. That's like almost the entire time we've been in quarantine. Did you keep that secret for that long? That seems impossible.
Yeah, I absolutely did. The only person I did tell was actually Davina. And that's only because, you know, she, her and I were in contact pretty much every day, you know, and she was always reaching out to me, asking how I was, asking how I was doing. You know, the telephone works both ways, in my opinion, and it really takes two to tango. So if you're not reaching out to me, you know, I'm not going to reach out to you. And my whole thing was, I didn't really want to tell people over text message. I think it's cheesy, and I didn't want to have a copy paste conversation with, you know, all of my friends, which is a lot actually. So I told Davina, and I wanted to wait. I was traveling. I was out of the country for months at a time. So I wanted to wait till I got back, you know, because we were filming for a good, you know, a good 6 months. So we took time off and I just wanted to travel the world. So I wanted to wait till I got back and I could show people and tell them the story. You know, for me, like my first instinct wasn't like, I'm not a girly girl, believe it or not. Like I look like one, but I'm really not a girly girl. I wasn't like, oh my God. Like, you know, I'm just happy with the love of my life. But I just really wanted to sit down with everyone, tell them the story. And the person that was there for me and was reaching out was Davina. You know, I was also talking to Heather and Maya as well, a little bit here and there, and we've always been great friends, but, you know, they did find out and I was just like, I want to tell you the whole story when I get back, kind of thing. So yeah, I really did keep it a secret, but it wasn't intentional. It wasn't to be, you know, malicious or anything. It was just to, you know, do it in the proper way, do it in the way that I felt was, you know, authentic to me.
So tell me where you met this guy.
So the way that him and I met was actually through a girlfriend of mine. I had a girlfriend who went on a date with this guy who was, you know, my now husband, who she didn't like. She's like, listen, like I met this guy. He's really nice and sweet. He's really, really smart. He's just not for me. But would you like to go out with him? And I said, sure, I would love that. And she's like, also, he's looking to move to LA. So, you know, maybe you, if it doesn't work out, you can help him find a house. So my girlfriend went on one date to dinner with him. So this is where the story kind of gets telephoned in the show, because okay, Mary really didn't know what happened. So I said, yeah, sure. So I went on a date with him and instantly we had this amazing connection. And, you know, I figured, what do I have to lose? You know, if I don't like him, he can become a client, you know, or if I like him, like even better. So that's kind of how that went down. So him and I had an amazing date. And we started dating immediately. We had like a super quick relationship. We were together 24/7 and he was looking for a home. And so he was like, why don't we find a home for us? So I was like, absolutely. So we were actually in Switzerland and I saw this home come on the market and I knew it looked familiar. It was really, really gorgeous. I was like, wow, this house is so great. How do I know this house? I didn't quite recognize it because it had different staging. So, you know, we fly to LA immediately to see it. And, you know, I walked up to it and I realized, I said, holy shit. I said, 3 years ago, I had this listing. And I was like, oh my God, I used to sit in this house every Sunday and I would imagine myself getting coffee and my husband walking around the house and, you know, like kids and dogs and the whole nine yards. And I literally manifested this house and I didn't realize. So I told him, I said, this is the house like I've dreamed of living in. This is the house like I've always wanted. This is so beautiful. And he agreed. And, you know, so we bought the house together for us. So he was my boyfriend before he was my client. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where the story gets a little twisted because Mary heard that he was dating my friend. No, he wasn't dating anyone. He didn't have a girlfriend before. He went on one date to dinner with a friend of mine. And so that's where the story gets telephoned.
And so you mentioned that he is in tech and that he retired early. So now he's in LA. And is he bored in the house asking you when you're going to go on another listing? Is
bored
he like
in the house?
Can you is he like bored. Is he like, can you get out of Dodge, like go sell some properties, or it's like,
no,
is he enjoying it?
Honestly, he, so I was working so hard, so we were, you know, up until, you know, two and a half months ago filming for 6 months straight, you know, Monday through Saturday. And on top of that, I was working full time. So I wouldn't get home until sometimes 9 p.m. And if we did like a dinner scene or a night out scene, sometimes I would get home at 11. So I was full time having two jobs for 6 months. So, you know, when quarantine came, he was like, you know, it was great because we finally had a lot of time to spend together. And yes, so he is 40 and he's retired. He does work from home, so he's working on another business venture, but he loves working from home. He's always able to motivate him, but it's kind of nice. Like, we actually don't get bored of each other. I mean, like, we're best friends and we do everything together. So we really just both enjoy it. It's nice.
So tell me about the cast and the season, what we have to look forward to. You're very close friends with Mary. Mary is going to marry in the season. Her boyfriend.
Yes.
Turned husband is much younger than her. She has an older mm-hmm. son. So we're going to get to see her wedding. We're going to get to see whether or not you make up. We see you having bumping heads with Heather a little bit. She's got the new boyfriend who's on HGTV. Will we see him at all? Mm-hmm. Will we see him at all on the show?
Unfortunately, no. You know, he has a contract with the network that he's on. So unfortunately he wasn't able to be on the show, which was kind of a bummer because, you know, obviously we all love him, but, so we won't see him on the show. And, Mary's wedding is, yes, Mary's wedding is on the new season, and Mary and I, you know, we have a falling out. We're really not friends anymore. Her and I grew apart. And, you know, back in season one, I, believe it or not, in my, you know, drunk Courtney Love, disheveled mess, I had good intentions. And I actually was defending her relationship against Chriselle, who was actually talking shit. You know, she was asking questions like, you know, are you guys going to have a prenup? Like, does he pay for things? Like, what's his job? Does he have any money? So, you know, she had said all these things, and then, you know, I brought it up and she's like, oh, I don't remember what I said. And it's like, that's kind of the theme in the group of these girls, is they really never remember what they say, but Tamara does. So, you know, I was actually defending Mary. I was like, Mary, this girl was actually talking about your relationship. Why can't she just own up to the things that she says? Like, I got into a fight and threw myself under the bus trying to be loyal to a friend. And to this day, someone doesn't talk to me because of that. And that's Chriselle. So that was really disappointing to see Mary, you know, not only not appreciate what I did for her, but, you know, hug Chriselle and be like, oh my gosh, Christine's just so crazy, blah, blah, blah. bitch, I was defending you. Like, I did all this for you. I didn't, you know, raise my cortisol levels and my blood pressure just for shits and giggles. Like, I did this for you. So that was really, really frustrating to me. And, you know, you see that play out in season two where Mary and I, you know, don't see eye to eye. And she's just like, you know, she's like, you weren't a loyal friend because, you know, you didn't tell me about your engagement. I was like, honey, you weren't a loyal friend before that, which is why I didn't tell you about my engagement. And her and I, you know, stopped talking after, you know, the second the cameras went off, after, you know, season one, we hadn't talked at all. So, you know, she definitely wasn't the first person I was going to tell, which is why she didn't even know the story of how we met. You know, I never even got a chance to tell her. She just went on camera and kind of went with what she heard. So you're going to see our relationship play out and the trials and tribulations of that. And then I wish I could say that, you know, you guys would see a makeup between me and Chriselle. I definitely tried multiple times to the point of insanity. But, you know, she just doesn't like me. She's never liked me. And, you know, episode 8 was just a great excuse for, you know, her to be like, aha, finally, I got something on you. Now I can officially not like you. So, you know, I did my best to reach out. And, you know, I'm a very forgiving person. I'm a Christian. You know, I believe that everyone makes mistakes and my delivery was wrong. And I 100% admit to that. My message was accurate, though. And then, yeah, we're going to see Heather and her relationship with Tarek play out. And, you know, they have a very fast, accelerated relationship as well. And then we have a new girl named Amanda. So you're going to see her. And Davina is doing well. We're going to see more of her in this season. She has the biggest listing of anyone ever at the brokerage, including Jason. So it's really, really great to see that house. But in my opinion, it's the highlight of the season, besides me, obviously. but it's really, really great to watch.
What will anyone ever figure out why Chriselle got a divorce? Will anybody ever figure it out, or are we going to be left wondering well after this is over?
Well, you know, Chriselle's always been very guarded in everything that she does and says. She's very, very, you know, private, and, you know, which is why the girls, you know, haven't really gotten a chance to grow super close with her, because, you know, she just tends to be really guarded. So, you know, she's never told Mary or any of the other girls why they broke up. No one knows why they broke up. But all I know is, you know, that he filed for divorce, and, you know, she said she's blindsided by the whole thing. So I don't really know what happened. You know, none of us do.
How annoyed are you with the brothers that run the agency? Do you ever find them annoying, or do you find them hilarious? Do the women of the office ever just kind of go out for drinks and plan their demise?
You know, it's so funny because, you know, to me, I don't really see Jason and Brett as my bosses. Like, I don't know. I don't really view them in that light. Yes, obviously, you know, they have technical authority over us, but, you know, Jason is so silly, and he just, you know, goes off on tangents, and sometimes we just can't take him seriously. So we just really laugh at him. I have a hard time taking them seriously, and we've all gotten so many fights. You know, all the girls get in fights with Jason and Brett all the time. You know, they're just like the bosses that you love to hate and you hate to love. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're actually really, really, really sweet. It's just, you know, they try to be hard asses sometimes, and, you know, it doesn't always work. And they're trying to control a group of like 8 girls, you know, like that must be really, really difficult. And we do give them a hard time. We definitely do. But we actually get along really well.
My last question is, who would we be surprised to know that you've sold a house to?
Like a celebrity?
Yeah.
I did a deal with the last property that Hugh Hefner had, which is interesting.
What was that like? I mean, I just been thinking like the walls are coated with bodily fluids.
You know, the house was actually rented out. So it was a property that was not lived in by anyone. It was actually rented out. And then another client of mine that I'm actively working with is Karamo Brown from, Queer Eye. And I love him. He's a great friend of mine. And he is just so much fun to work for. So that was really, really fun to do.
Tell everybody where they can find you and kind of see what you're working on.
Yes. Yeah, so my Instagram is at the Christine Quinn. And then Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok is all at XTINE Quinn, QUINN.
Do you feel like you are like if Erica Jane and Christina Aguilera had a baby?
Oh my God. I'm so flattered by that comment. I wish. I take that as a compliment. That's amazing. That's the best thing I've heard in weeks, years. Thank you. I love both of them, so I'm so flattered.
The Christina Xtina kind of version of her life. You're like an elevated version of that.
I love that. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, awesome. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
But I'm not going to wear Hervé Légère if we go to dinner.
I promise I'm not going to look like I do in this show, I assure you. So you have nothing to worry about. We'll get along just fine.
Okay. Oh my God. I'm like, what are they wearing? It's always like, what?
The amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank my great guest, Christine Quinn, and remind you guys to go to iTunes and to hit subscribe and leave a 5-star review. They are so helpful to us as podcasters if you leave a review. I know some of you are like, why would I do that? It's actually enormously helpful for us. So if you could do that and jump in the Facebook group, you can talk about this episode and all the other shows that you're watching. Every reality show, every docuseries, every documentary that really you're interested in, we are talking about it in that group. So jump in. It's called Reality Life with Kate Casey. Just put it in the search button. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. I am tweeting about shows and during shows all week long, always looking for guests. Listen, you guys are at home, you're watching a lot of TV, you might live with somebody who's super funny, and you think they would be a great guest on Kate's show because they always have an opinion, and maybe they have some sort of background that would be most appropriate. For example, I'm looking for someone right now who has used sperm donation or has been a sperm donor who would review the show Labor of Love on Fox. You've got to check that show out. It's hosted by Kristen Davis, and it makes zero sense to me. So I'm always looking for guests. And of course, you can find me on Instagram and at Kate Casey CA. You can see how I am trying to thrive in the middle of a pandemic with 5 children under 10 that I'm homeschooling. And of course, you can find bonus episodes on my Patreon page. So go to patreon.com/KateCasey. Wishing you guys a great week, and I will circle back with you on Friday.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
to deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.